Mike Signora of the NFL, and I am joined today by Joe Ellis, the Chief Operating Officer of the Denver Broncos, and Jeff Pasch, the NFL Executive Vice President. You should have all received the various statements that were sent out earlier today. Before we open the floor for questions and answers, Joe Ellis will make a opening statement, followed by Jeff Pasch. Joe, go right ahead.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, everybody, for joining on the call. I just want to reiterate what Pat Bowlen said in his statement, and that is that the Denver Broncos believe firmly in the integrity of the National Football League and fair competition. Pat, nor anybody in our organization, condones the type of behavior that took place here. The fact that an employee of our organization would take such an action was personally disappointing to Mr. Bowlen. He has apologized to everybody affected by this incident, and he recognizes that incidents such as this, and this is an incident done by one employee and one employee only, cuts into the trust and respect of our fans, our ticket holders, the community, our fellow competitors, and it cuts into that trust and respect that they have for our organization. So he was made aware of this, and I was made aware of it as the outline shows, and Jeff will speak to the investigation on November 8th, and we began our internal investigation promptly and then reported to the league because that's what the integrity of the game policy requires us to do, and we follow the rules. So we, Mr. Bowlen, the Denver Broncos, accept the discipline that was imposed by Commissioner Goodell upon both the organization and Josh McDaniels, and we are taking all steps and will take all steps to ensure that this does not happen again. And I will leave it at that and turn it over to Jeff.
Okay, thanks, Joe, and good afternoon, everyone. I think from the perspective of the Commissioner's office, obviously unfortunate, but there is, as in most unfortunate things, something positive to point to, and that is namely that the Denver Broncos, their ownership and their executive, had their moral compass pointing in the right direction, and they followed the rules, they adhered to the policy, they came forward promptly and reported violation, and then when we began our investigation promptly thereafter, they were fully cooperative. I think they set an example as to how incidents of this type are properly handled, and I think while no one is happy about this kind of an event, I think everyone can take a step back and say, well, when the team became aware of it, they did the right thing, and hopefully we won't have repeats of these kinds of incidents, but if we do, I hope that clubs will conduct themselves the way the Broncos did over the past few weeks.
Okay, Brandon, we're now ready to open up the lines for questions.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Smith with Pro Football Talk.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The question is for Jeff Pasch, and what I'd like to know is, how exactly did this situation come to the league's attention, and what specifically made Mr. Scarnecchia a repeat offender of the policy?
It came to our attention because the Broncos came and reported it to us, specifically Mr. Bowlen and Joe Ellis. Counsel Rich Slivka came into New York and asked for a meeting and sat down with us and findings of what had happened. And then on your second point, Michael, Mr. Skarnecchia had previously been employed as a member of the video staff in New England, and in the course of the investigation a few years ago was identified as one of the people who had been involved in improperly recording opposing teams' coaching signals.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sure. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Eric Hubert with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, Joe, Mike Kliss of the Denver Post here, and there's been a lot of storm clouds over this organization since you hired Josh, and not a whole lot of wins. I was wondering if you're disappointed in the performance of Josh to this point, and if you continue to support him.
Well, we're disappointed with the season as it's gone this thus far, but we have six games left to play, and this particular incident that one employee took advantage of or decided to take does not, you know, sway Mr. Boland's feelings about Josh one way or the other. He understands Josh made a mistake. Josh has acknowledged that to Mr. Boland. He has apologized to him. And, you know, we've got six games left to play, and we're hopeful we improve. We're going to start with the Rams tomorrow. And, you know, this particular incident, the disappointment really comes from how it went down with respect to the one employee who decided to take the action he did. We acknowledge, Mr. Boland acknowledges, Josh should have come forward as soon as he found out. You know, his performance, we understand some of the criticisms that are in place, and that's natural based on where we are. Number one, how we finished last year and where we are right now today. But, you know, we're moving forward and looking forward to the next six games.
Your next question comes from the line of Charlie Casserly of the CBS Sports.
This is for Joe Ellis. Joe, October 30th is the videotaping. November 8th is when you become aware of it, or somebody in your organization at your level becomes aware of it. Josh McDaniel's explanation of why it takes from the October 30th to November 8th, and why all of a sudden is it November 8th? It's a long time.
I'm not going to get into the specifics of the investigation, and if Jeff Pash would like to do that, he can. You know, his explanation was is that once that it was reported to him, he dismissed it. He told the video director that this is not how we do business here, and I think he just moved on from it at that point, and he recognizes that was a mistake, and he should have come forward.
Yeah, Charlie, it's Jeff. I think I would just add that that's a part of the reason why he was fined, because the obligation was to come forward and to do so promptly, and he didn't. There's a lot, you know. People can say that it took some time, but I think when the team became aware of it, when the executives, Joe and his colleagues and Mr. Boland, they reported it promptly, as was their obligation, and then we did our own investigation as well, and had people in Denver, and you know, did some analysis of the laptop equipment and things like that, and we've reported out the findings earlier today. But you know, your point, that's a part of the reason why a fine was imposed on the coach.
Your next question comes from the line of Jason Cole of Yahoo.com.
Joe, Jeff, thank you for your time. First of all, just as a follow-up to Charlie's question, who from the organization, Joe, made you guys aware of this? If Josh, you know, initially didn't do anything, you know, with Skarnecchia, I mean, I'm somehow missing that.
I'm not at liberty to reveal the details of the investigation, and I'm going to defer to Jeff on that. We've promised the league confidence on that, and I'm not willing to go there.
Jeffrey,
yeah.
You willing?
Well, Jason, one of the things about our policy and the duty to report is we do make a pledge, and this is not unusual in these settings. We do make a pledge of confidentiality. As part of a way of encouraging people to come forward and also protecting people against possible retaliation. So I think from our perspective, I would say that that our office learned of it, as I say, from ownership and the club's senior executives, and we investigated thoroughly and confirmed what happened. I don't think that in keeping with the promises of confidentiality that we are appropriate for us to go beyond.
And Jason, I didn't
mean follow-up, just a two-part thing. First of all, why are employees of other teams allowed to be in stadiums when other teams are practicing? That's number one. And number two, was there any consideration of the fact that Denver had a couple of salary cap violations earlier this decade, that might have increased the penalty, even though they're somewhat unrelated, but there have been other off-field activities that have been questionable?
On the latter part, the answer is no, because any cap violations, I believe, were dealt with at the time. And as you say, it was quite a few years ago and quite unrelated to this. On the former point, as I understand it, generally that is not what happened. This was a sort of a unique instance, perhaps associated in part with being in a different stadium and getting equipment set up. But I think, Jason, that your point, your broader point is a fair one. Perhaps that's something that we need to look at. But my understanding is that for most of our games, the opposing clubs are not represented in the stadium at the same time. I think this was sort of a unique circumstance because of the game being in London.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Mast with the Washington Post.
Jeff, two parts. Number one, can you tell us more about the hearing that the video director will have, who will be involved in that, what the timetable for that will be? And also, part two, given that Josh McDaniels has his own background with the Patriots and hired this video director from the Patriots, is the league fully satisfied at this point that this truly was a one-time incident carried out by one employee and one employee only?
Well, Mr. Mask, let me take those in turn. On the hearing, Mr. Skarnecchia has been directed to contact Ray Anderson, who is our executive vice president in charge of football operations, within the next few days to arrange the hearing. It will be before the commissioner. Mr. Skarnecchia, like anyone who's involved in a hearing, would have the right to bring counsel or witnesses to address issues. The principal issue, I believe, for the commissioner in that hearing, although he'll make that judgment himself, would be whether he should impose any further sanction on Mr. Skarnecchia. In light of these facts, the basic question, did he do this, I think has been addressed, has been resolved to everyone's satisfaction. But what happens further, if anything, I think that will be the key point that the commissioner wants to consider. Now, on your second question, we're as satisfied of that as we can be right now, because all of the testimony that we took from witnesses who were knowledgeable is consistent. It doesn't indicate any other violation. We have no reason to think, and certainly this was what we learned back when we considered the context of the Patriots, that Coach McDaniels had any involvement in that activity. And each of the Broncos have submitted to us as part of the investigation signed certifications by their owner, their senior executives, their coaches, their other members of the football operations staff, general manager, confirming that they are not aware of any violation of the competitive rules other than what we're talking about here involving the improper tape recording of the practice, a portion of the practice in London. So we've tried as best we can to make sure that the issue doesn't go beyond what we know about. That said, the commissioner, I think, was very clear in all of his correspondence that if the facts disclose other violations beyond what there is here, he will immediately reopen the investigation, and he will pursue whatever additional information there is. And if it documents violations, he will impose additional and certainly more substantial discipline.
Brandon, this is Mike Signora. If you could open the line of Eric Schubert, Denver Broncos, just so that we get a few questions from the Broncos media room. I know that there's many media there, and we just want to be sure that since they're in one location that they can ask a few questions, please.
All right, Mr. Hubert's line is open.
Jeff, this is Dave Krieger with the Denver Post.
Yes, sir.
There are a couple of accounts in the statements issued this morning, one from Pat Bowlen suggesting that the video was on a single laptop, another from the NFL that suggests it was on laptops, plural, belonging to the video department. I'd like to know if your investigation disclosed exactly how many laptops the video was on and whether your forensic work indicates whether it was open, whether the file was opened on any of those laptops.
I believe that our investigation showed that the video was on one laptop. We analyzed several. We did the forensic analysis on several laptops, I think, just to find out, you know, if it had been copied and perhaps displayed elsewhere. I don't believe that we could tell whether the video had been played or not, but we could tell that it had been copied onto a laptop at one point.
Joe Ellis, Jeff Legwald from the Denver Post. Curious, are you satisfied with the reason or reasons Josh gave you as to why he didn't come to you before November 8th?
I am. We talked about that, and you know, he stated his reasons and admitted his mistake, that he had just put it behind him and he was moving on, and he recognizes now that he should have come forward immediately, and the discipline has been imposed, and I'm satisfied with his explanation, and Mr. Bowlen is satisfied that it's been handled appropriately by the league, and Josh himself, as I believe earlier with you guys, admitted his mistake, and so we're satisfied with that.
Ellis, do you think there was an attempt to any sort of cover-up?
I don't think there was, no. We don't believe that. There's no evidence to suggest that whatsoever. And when we were asked to, well, when we did our internal investigation first, everybody was cooperative, and I believe, Jeff, you can speak to the latter part, which is their investigation, and he did speak to that at the beginning a little bit. You know, everybody cooperated, and I believe what has come out is what is true.
Mr. Ellis, just to be clear, when you first found out about this, it wasn't because Josh McDaniels told you about it, correct?
Again, I can't get into the details of who came forward and when and why. If Jeff can do that, I'll let him speak to it. But there's a confidentiality clause that he mentioned, and I'm not able to.